Fullcast After Dark for men.
Welcome to the Fullcast After Dark.
How?
Oink.
Ooh, that's good.
Meow.
Get that guy out of here.
That's good. I would like to start with an apology to Holly Anderson, our co-host.
Oh, no.
No. Holly, and I truly don't remember if this was a discussion we had on air anywhere, but Holly said, I can't ever trust the Florida-Tennessee game. I can't ever. Like, it never follows any logic or reason. And so I can't. And I said to her, I was like, I just don't think that's true this year. I don't think this Florida
team. And I'm maintaining that it's true every year.
Here's what I'm going to try to do. And I'm not going to promise that I'll do it because, like, I'm not trying to make promises.
This is that kind of show.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to make promises I might not keep. Holly, I'm going to listen to what you say about Tennessee, because you understand Tennessee far better than I do.
Yeah.
And no matter how weird or stupid something looks, I'm going to look to you as my volunteer oracle, and I'm going to try to listen to your wisdom. And I apologize for not doing that before Florida beat Tennessee.
I don't mind not being listened to. I mind that I was accused of being some sort of drama queen.
That I don't think was me. That part I don't think was me.
It's not, and as I said last week, and this is all I have to say about it, Tennessee losing the Florida game more often than not does not have anything to do with how good Florida is or is not.
That I can buy. You are correct.
I don't want to hear from you right now.
But
Because you know what I find unbearable?
What?
It's not my shit. What I find unbearable is Spencer bitching his way through the final quarter of a game during which his team is up 13 points at home.
It's a stressful number.
Grumbling.
It's a stressful number.
Well, can I offer one thing in defense of Spencer?
But like more stressful than 12 or less than 14 or what?
It was a weird score for a long time.
Sure.
Like, we were sitting here calculating how many sixes we needed to get back to a normal number.
Jason, it's stressful because I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, that's an extra point. All you have to do is do two of these godlike Joe Milton throws down the field, beat our inexperienced DBs, and you get 14. And that's what I was thinking in my head the whole time.
Yeah. Also, I hate doing this shit because I hate opening the arc of Vol Twitter any more than I absolutely have to. Those are some weird calls. Like, I have never heard Kirk and Chris be mad on behalf of Tennessee under any circumstances.
They were irritated.
I've never heard them talk like that.
Yeah.
That was weird.
I will offer this in defense of Spencer. Spencer and I do not root for the most electric team in the state of Florida in week 3.
Mm-mm.
Because that team is the University of South Florida Bulls.
Guys, do you think Bama poked the bull by pulling that barbecue shit earlier this week? I hope they've learned their lesson.
You think you could just come down Dale Mabry into our house, which we share
that we borrow?
With
you think you could just come into my roommate's dad's house?
Into our Verbo?
You're just going to strut into the house that Vinny Testaverde built.
Buddy, that ain't even the house that Vinny Testaverde. That's the house that, like, Trent Dilfer built.
It's the house that Vinny Testaverde put down payments on.
Dad, I left Florida.
You think this is a football game, but as you can tell by the pirate ship, we're playing mini golf down here, brother.
and you're under, you're over par.
That's you're over par.
So I have. So who watched substantial stretches of this game?
I don't have the strength, frankly.
Okay, can I say, before I spend a good portion of this here podcast and recap of week 3 talking about the glories of watching Phil Jerkovic play quarterback, because I'm not well.
Transfer to Bama, Phil! Phil, they'll love you in Bama! They'll take good care of you!
I enjoyed it immensely, sorry.
Tyler Buckner, the starting quarterback for Alabama, was 5 for 14 for 34 yards. Brother, those are some Tampa Bay Buccaneers numbers. I mean, like 1997 Tampa Bay Buccaneers numbers.
Bruce Gronkowski, baby.
That's a Steve DeBerg line right there.
Like old Steve DeBerg, too. Like, man, I think he's 38, y'all. In a time when you shouldn't be playing football at 38.
You couldn't even keep it zesty with three or four interceptions. No. That was Georgia Southern.
Hey,
today,
you know,
I respect the fuck out of it.
You know why you can't keep it zesty with interceptions? Interceptions have to stay in the air.
They have to stay in the air. You can't skip an interception, somebody.
That was the worst I have seen Alabama look since 2000. Might be 2000 heavy. Just the year 2000.
Yeah. Yeah, 2000.
Like, might be straight up the year 2000. Like, this, they couldn't fucking block USF.
So, this was...
I would give 2000. I would go back maybe as far as 04.
So,
but yeah,
it's
close.
The last time Bama had, I think, 107 passing yards in this game. That's right. The last time they were this low was 2017 in a game they lost to Auburn. But that's Auburn. That doesn't count. The last time they were sub 150 against a G5 team was 2008 when they beat Tulane 20-6 with 73 passing yards.
And in those days, 20-6 was what they were going for.
Yes, yes.
And like, I assume that game was in hand for 50 minutes.
Yeah, like the last, I don't know, 6-7 years have really, we've gotten used to the fact like, oh, Alabama can pass the ball. They can not only pass the ball, they can pass the ball extremely well. And before that, young listeners, we lived in a time where it was unclear whether Alabama could pass the ball, but it really wasn't that important to them.
No. Can I interject and just say this?
Please.
You wanted a man like Jay Barker. You wanted a man like Jay who's going to come in, and he's going to go 5-for-21, and he's going to throw for one TD and one interception, and then he's going to make one crucial scramble for a first down in the fourth quarter that was going to ice the whole thing. And then the rest of the time, he's going to have the prettiest handoff you ever seen. That man was just like the prettiest jockey in the world, because he's just leading the pony where it needed to go.
I mean, Greg McElroy's passing line in the BCS National Championship where Bama beat Texas was 6-of-11 for 58 yards.
Yeah.
And that would have made him a fucking god for Alabama against USF tonight.
Yeah, it's ass. Like, don't even say it's bad. It's ass. It's real, real, real bad. And they were doing things with the broadcast that I haven't seen them do before. They were doing things like, well, you know, here's how big Alabama's offensive line is. It's bigger than an NFL line. Why so bad? If big, why bad? They were doing that on the broadcast, man.
This is on ABC,
Anyone
too.
Anyone who's looking at this final score. Well, RG3 was in the house. If That's RG3 true. Is there, things are going to get a little bit weird.
We're going to get
for everyone,
broke,
but
yeah.
I'm always entertained by RG3. I know he's not for everyone, but anyone looking at this final score and thinking 17-3, that's not so bad. That's like how Nick Saban prefers to win games. No, there is not.
How
a
long
game
was it? How long was it
3-3?
How long was it? When did we get out of 3-3?
Into the third.
And then Bama was up 10-3 until the very end. And yeah, right. It was 3-3 way past halftime. And there was a long weather delay. So by that, I mean way, way, way past halftime. But like the yardage differential is under 50. It was like a critical, you know, fourth down stop here and there. USF went for it on fourth down 6 times, only got 2 of them. Add another one of those at a critical point, and they could have taken this to overtime or what have you. It's so much worse than the score looks, and the score looks terrible.
There were a lot of games where it was like ranked team struggles with unranked team, but then figures it out in the second half. And technically that's what this game is. But like, you can't tell me you are like, oh, well, you know, Florida State and Georgia and even, you know, Michigan, like you definitely have to feel worse about Bama of the ranked of maybe all of the ranked teams right now. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, for one thing, they've lost already.
Yep.
And then, yeah, for the other, everyone knows the score is a total lie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Michigan pulled away. Ohio State was, it was a weird score for a while, but they very much pulled away. Notre Dame was tight for a while, but they pulled away. Yep. And then even some of the ones where they didn't pull away, it's still, you know, like, Florida State 3-0. If you would take 3-0 straight up at this point, if someone had told you that before the season began, you would not care if it looks pretty or not.
Right.
Bama, you are feeling 0-3 right now.
Right.
Can I give you like the most shocking stat to me, which is you go, okay, well, how many, like, just how bad was it? You go, well, USF had 14 first downs. 14. Bama had 15.
Football barely happened.
This is against a USF team that, by the way, is more shake and bake than you know. They flipped a massive chunk of that roster. It ain't quite Colorado, but
They have two wide receivers who are playing for Colorado this year.
Naquan Wright, former Gator Naquan Wright, is at running back. They've got good players. And Bama's defense did a pretty good job handling this extremely shake and bake team located just off of the beautiful expanse of Dale Mabry. But I this is like all of the things that you say, well, man, maybe this will eventually catch up to Bama. They have all
like the loss of Bill O'Brien has proved damning.
You know, the worst part,
Pete Golding is thriving is the worst part.
Pete Golding was loading.
No, sorry, that's the best part. My mistake.
Do you know what is across the street from Raymond James Stadium?
I assume you're not talking about Big Bad Wolf Barbecue Truck.
No.
2001 was Sex Odyssey?
No, 2001 was never there. You've gone too far.
Some sort of pro wrestling strip club.
Oh, you mean not? I was thinking Tuscaloosa, sorry.
What's opposite Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay, Florida, is the Yankees minor league park. And so Bama has to walk out of this fucking slop fest and behold another crumbling, broken dynasty.
Another fallen empire. Why do dudes love thinking about the Roman Empire, the Yankees, and Alabama football?
I bet he's thinking about other women. And meanwhile, he's like Freddie Kitchens. I'm just thinking about Freddie Kitchens.
Just thinking about the glory days.
We've also skipped over that Alabama put in their third string quarterback.
Yeah.
But never went back. The quarterback who started the season never got any playing time at all. Like, if we entered this season being like, oh, there are questions about what Alabama's going to do at quarterback. And somehow we are more baffled now?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only worse. And all of that like strip mining of Saban's management class that other teams have been doing for the better part of a decade and a half finally came home to roost. Like, you finally missed on hires. And you finally hired some people who may not be able to do the job. And all those people who were really instrumental to your development, particularly at places like the offensive line at wide receiver, you didn't replace them several years ago with people of the same caliber, and that's all added up. And meanwhile, everybody else has gotten really, really good. And that's what you're looking at. And they missed on quarterbacks. By the way, did you see anything today that you didn't think Jalen Milroe could do?
No.
Uh-uh.
I mean, honestly, the quarterback thing is like, okay, that could be a one-year fix. It's down 1 year.
But the line stuff is not great.
The offensive line is mind-blowing. How is Alabama that bad on the offensive line? How? Like, Alabama has a below FBS average offensive line. What in the fuck?
With not below FBS inputs. By that,
with
I mean...
five stars.
Correct. Those are all 4 and 5 stars, brother. All of them. And they're all playing like 2 stars.
But the flip side of this, fucking shout out to USF, who was just fuck you. We have nothing to lose.
They so very nearly like deserved this win.
Yes. Yeah.
They should feel awesome about, you know, I mean, their defense made Alabama's offense look horrible. That is, you know, that is a, if that ends up being the best thing you can say about their season, success.
Like, and I understand people maybe don't pay that much attention to South Florida, and I understand why that might be the case. This is a team that has not beaten, I'm going to double check this here, the last FBS team they beat was Temple last year. And before that, we're going back to 2019 to find the last FBS team they beat. Like, this has been a rough program for a while now. and for them to rise up and pull, like, nearly yeah. pull off what might have been, it would have been the upset of the year, like, no question, but goddamn.
So the funny thing is, looking at the rest of Bama's schedule, it's like, oh yeah, they could sweep this. There's,
I am
every single team on their schedule has had rough quarters or dropped a game, or the SEC is, it's wobbly.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think wobbly is fair, but like, if you made me bet right now, is Bama going to sweep or lose another game? I'd definitely take lose another game.
I wouldn't bet on them to do it. Like right now, yeah. I would say, as wild as it feels at this point, I'd say LSU is your West favorite. But you know, unless you think it's Ole Miss, but like, right. there is none of these teams that stands head and shoulders.
No, no, maybe Kentucky. Let's not rule out the Kentucky game.
To be
folks.
Fair, yeah. To be fair, Vanderbilt has been entertaining every week, so we'll give.
Did y'all see the end of the Vanderbilt game today? I know
I believe wasn't it Vandy scores a TD to tie?
Oh, it's so much better than that. Here, can I walk you through it?
Please.
All right. This is the barn burner that was Vandy UNLV. Here's everything that happened in the last 2 minutes and 30 seconds of game time. UNLV threw a 48-yard touchdown pass to go up 7. Vandy responded with a 34-yard touchdown pass to tie the game. On their very next snap, UNLV threw a pick, and then Vandy sort of, like, ran the ball a few times, wasn't really trying to do much, and missed a 33-yard field goal. And then UNLV threw a 48-yard pass to set up the game-winning 36-yard field goal. Again, all in 2:30. It was fucking crazy. It was awesome. Vanderbilt is still, like, a largely incomplete team. But they are a lot more fun than they used to be. I'll give them that.
Yes. Yeah. We should mention Georgia. They tried very hard to do the thing we always talk about them doing against South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Their offense. I mean, Stetson should have won the Heisman, apparently.
I'm going to take you through a series of Mike Bobo personality tests and play calling. Are you ready, Jason Kirk? Okay. First and 10.
Run the ball, Bobo.
First and 10. I just want you to just call a play. Call what you think would make sense. Just say, like, run, you know, this kind of run or this kind of pass. Just simply, what would you do? First and 10.
Short run.
Mm-hmm. Long bomb. Second and 10. Incomplete. What would you call, Jason Kirk, on second and 10?
Short run.
Short pass. Second and 8. No, third and 8. We're third and 8. Okay, third and 8, what do you do?
Now we run.
That's actually correct. Yeah. You've fully been Mike Bobo pilled. Mike Bobo is back in the building. If you don't remember Mike Bobo from his previous stint at Georgia or from his short and unhappy life at Colorado State as head coach there, whatever you thought you should do on that down, fuck you. It's the other thing. That's it.
I'm hitting ask Corso, and I'm saying no. Yeah. Shut up, Corso. Yeah, I think during his first stint as Georgia's OC, I think Bill Connelly and I were the only people who thought he did an actually good job. This time around, okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear the bandwagon is fuller than it. But it's empty now. It's empty now, man.
They did a good job in the second half when I think Kirby pulled him aside and said, and I can't believe we get to say this again, run the ball, Bobo. I think he really did that.
It got for a certain age of viewer and consumer of this show, that's got to be that's a bracing hit to the chops.
Is there a team that is better at making everybody on either side of a game just fucking mad about what just happened in South Carolina?
No one.
No, absolutely not.
Nobody better. There are teams arguably in its class, but nobody better. That's for sure.
God, it's fucking, like, it's impressive at this point. It really is.
By the way, let's take a shout out from the comments that I think is pertinent to our discussion. Freedom Cripple asks, I will never understand how people like Bobo keep getting hired. Let me tell you something.
Because they're fans! Because they're fans!
Do you want to know what... Because
men are too emotional to lead. We've been through this.
They are. Do you want to know what, like... One
Not
of the,
really
like,
joking.
One of the underplayed storylines about Kirby Smart's revolutionary, super brainiac, like, I figured out football tenure at Georgia, which for the past 2 years, all credit, you figured out football, okay? But you know what one of the, like, trends has been there? Hiring his boys. And I don't mean just, like, people he knows in the coaching industry.
Oh,
I
yeah. Mean, it's like we're getting the spring break crew back together, buddy.
Yes. No, but really.
No, like
stars.
Like,
yeah, they're just like us.
We're getting a rack of beasts and going rafting.
I want guys that I know I can karaoke with that won't judge my choices on the microphone.
He hired Muschamp, mm-hmm. right? Who was his guy? Played with him. Bobo there at Georgia at the same time. If you are a close personal friend of Kirby Smart's, and at one point you donned a jockstrap somewhere around the Georgia Athletic Complex, you can probably get a gig there, right? So, like, if you want to know how this is going, you go like, what's one potential downfall storyline for Georgia and all this? I'm like,
you know
that?
What? You know
that?
What? Shit's not going to matter. Shit's not going to matter even a little bit.
It's going to matter a little bit. I don't say a whole lot, but, like, that's one thing where you go, it's going to grate on people, man.
It's not going to matter in the regular season, I don't think.
No. No. But when Mike Bobo on 3rd and 17 calls a flea flicker with an underneath route that goes 4 yards, that's when it'll come to roost.
I would like to issue one other apology, and this is to another co-host, Jason Kirk. Jason, I believe that you specifically called out Sac State Stanford as an FCS upset to watch, and we have not given you enough shine for that.
Oh, all the shine, buddy.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I said it would be a big week for the Big Sky. We missed on Idaho over Cal. I'm still upset about that one. Split Zone Duo can take a victory lap on me for that one. But we'll take the dub for Sac State. Big Sky, best guy. It's a big sky.
Can we talk about the most lopsided Big Sky game of the week?
We should.
Portland State 91, North American 0.
They beat a whole fucking continent.
Whooped a continent's ass.
North American what?
Damn.
Take that, Canada.
North American University, I believe this is.
Have Mexico and Canada not suffered enough from us? We got to inflict this on them.
I am double checking.
Ross Perot in shambles.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
He's already in shambles after that Oklahoma State result.
You could pick literally
is Ross Perot alive.
No, he's very dead. Sorry. He's very dead. Yeah. He's literally in shambles. He's very
you
dead.
You could pick literally any stat. Spencer, just throw out a stat you would see on the team statistics portion of the box score, and I'll tell you what it was for North America.
First down.
2. Holly, throw me another.
3.
No.
Oh. Another what?
Another statistical category.
Tackles for loss.
Hold on. 15.
Good Christ.
Portland State had 15 tackles for loss for 60 yards.
Buddy, what was time of possession for North America?
Hold on. We're gonna let Jason go and then you can go.
So Portland State, the team that scored 91 points, how many yes. passes did they throw?
12.
Ow.
Huh.
All right. Spencer, what do you think their average per attempt was?
Passing or rushing?
Passing. On 12 attempts. I'll tell you, they went 8 of 12.
I'm going to say 35 yards.
11.2 yards.
Okay. Like,
let's just but, 4 passing touchdowns.
There it is.
Spencer, you wanted to know time of possession?
For North American, yeah.
31 minutes and 55 seconds.
How?
Because yeah,
this box score is incredible.
Because basically what happened was Portland State got the ball and then they almost immediately scored no matter where they were on the field. And then North American had to go out and fart around for a 3-and-out or whatever.
NAU, I'm going to assume is what they're called. Only yes. had 2 turnovers.
Yes, correct.
This is an amazing box score.
That's something correct. To build on.
Like,
yeah, protect the rock.
They had, NAU had one drive in which they held the ball for 4 minutes or longer. And that's it. They just had a shitload of drives. Yes, and we should say North American is a Division II team. They're not FCS. But like.
Yeah, I hope they got paid. I hope they funded a new facility on campus or something.
Portland State scored touchdowns on their first 11 drives of the game, and then they punted on the last 2 because they're not the worst people in the world.
And Colorado State has just taken the lead on
The disrespect.
How dare they?
Folks, if you're seeking this up on a future date, game clock time in Colorado State is 4:57.
Yeah, that's going to be important
right now
when Colorado comes back
in the second quarter.
I think the person or the group that I feel worst for today is Kansas State, though.
Oh,
no, I want to be more specific. I feel worst for the Kansas State, I assume it's a receiver, could be a DB, player who stood under the crossbar hoping for like a kick six type experience and just had to fucking watch as his 61-yard field goal easily sailed through.
Watch the goddamn Barry Bonds moonshot.
Uh-huh.
There goes Dayball.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Not like the biggest stakes or whatever.
Sure.
The quality of the kick.
Yeah.
The greatest kick in college football history.
Especially because Harris Meavis took so much shit last year.
Yeah.
And comes out in this game. Who's? I heard this fourth quarter described by cynics, by haters, as shambolic. A college football drama at its finest.
Yeah, when you add in all the contextual factors, we come out well in the green.
Yeah.
Yeah. A game back and forth, competitive throughout, very tight. Brady Cook played a great game. Mm-hmm. For Missouri, I thought Will Howard played a great game. He played most of the second half injured and limping and was still fantastic. And it came down to 27-27 with Harrison Meavis about to attempt a 56 yarder when Mizzou forgot that they had no timeouts and ended up getting a delay of game, thus moving it back to a 61 yarder.
They looked up at 2 seconds and, oh, go, go, go.
And can I tell you this? We talk a lot of shit about Missouri.
Yes,
but I'm welcoming you to the SEC formally at this point because you decided to kick a field goal at the end of the game. That's a very SEC decision, traditionally speaking. But not only that.
Real quick, Colorado State's touchdown got erased. They just rescored it. And then, dude, hit Deion's touchdown dance.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
This is after. This is after another Ram high step in the end zone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, please. Has somebody got sunglasses hidden in the goalpost?
Ocho Cinco is posting, so I hopefully he's there.
By the way, that was a 14-play, 89-yard, 7-minute, 27-second drive. Perfect.
Thank you, Erica Pirate, for pointing out Mizzou knows how to make curfew.
That's true.
They do. But welcome to the SEC because you decided that relying on a 56-yard field goal wasn't traditionalist enough. Hell no. You had to back it up for a 61-yarder. And then Harrison Meavis did the most golf thing ever, which was he fucking nuked
it. Fucking nailed it, baby!
And he saluted it.
Saluted it. Bang that shit. He had an additional, I think it would have been good from like 63-64.
They could have taken another delay of game and it gone through.
Yes, and I think it would have at least bounced off the crossbar.
Yeah,
yes.
It would have hit the crossbar. Because that's how hard he stroked it, man. Yeah. Honestly, the most like drunken glorious.
That was the hardest
golf
stroke outside of Lauren Boebert.
Thank you.
I appreciate that Jason was going toward that exit, cut off three cars on the way, side swiped a utility van, and still made it.
You call that a Pittsburgh left in a couple different contexts, actually.
That's right. Whoever had money on Jason makes the first musical theater reference joke on this show, please collect your bounty of winnings.
It turns out I love musicals. Is that a musical? I don't know.
The Sandman always surprises.
Wait, do you know which musical it was at?
Beetlejuice. Is that
okay? Yes. Beetlejuice, the stage play, would be super fucked up.
Yeah.
Please
buy my erotic novel. If you love me, grab my dick. Beetlejuice the musical.
Can I rant about a different delay of game that should have happened but didn't?
Sure.
Please.
In the first half of their eventual sincere loss to Iowa, Western Michigan found itself with like 3rd and 12 on their own 1, and the clock was running out, and they burned a timeout. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, why the fuck? This is the stupidest place to possibly do that. There is no benefit you possibly get to just to just letting, okay, move us back half the distance. Who fucking cares? And I just, like, it's stuck in my brain. It's like, whoever made that decision made the, it didn't matter. Like, Iowa dump trucked them, and that was probably going to happen no matter what. But I just, like, I can't stand it. I just can't stand that somebody was like, no, we can't let take this penalty. It'll fucking kill us. That's all.
Iowa scored a lot of points.
Iowa did score a lot of points.
Oh, we have a mathematical contribution from reader Eric.
Mm-hmm.
I think who pointed out in our mentions earlier this evening, and I can't find it, so I'm probably going to fuck this up, that if Iowa scores, thanks to tonight's offensive explosion, if Iowa scores 24 points
exactly in every 24 game for the rest of the season, yes.
They will average 25 while only having gotten to 25 once.
Yep. Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Oh.
It turns out, Colorado, that you can't play without an offensive line. This is a problem in college football.
That sounds like hater talk. That sounds like doubter talk.
Yeah. Just another thing Colorado has in common with Alabama.
Yeah, they're the same program at this point, except Colorado has better skill players.
Except Colorado's undefeated.
And Colorado's undefeated, yeah.
As of this recording.
May we wax poetic about Washington for a little bit?
God damn, don't play them anymore.
Hey, I don't think you should play Washington anymore. Yeah, Jesus. Don't do it. It's bad for you.
The only good team in all of college football except Sacramento State.
Yeah.
Michael Penix Jr. had 473 yards on 35 throws.
That's impressive. Hey, before his recent departure, what was Mel's emphasis, area of emphasis with this football team?
Defense.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Yeah. So Michael Penix Jr., who again transferred from Indiana last year,
yes,
now has the top three individual passing games in Washington history and four of the top five.
A not inconsiderable history of excellent college quarterbacking, okay? Mm-hmm. They've had dudes at that position.
At the very least, they've had dudes who will chuck it, you know? It's not like Washington has lacked
four
dudes.
They've had both.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Guys
yes.
were just very tall.
Yeah. Yeah. But
yeah, he's playing on.
I know you're thinking, is this
right
Brock
now.
Heward slander? Yes, yes, it is.
but yeah, don't. If Michigan State has this anywhere on their calendar in the next 70 to 80 years of football, pull it. Don't show up. I'm sick. I got the poops. Be like, we got diarrhea. Can't come to the game.
But Spencer, they're gonna join the Big Ten. They're gonna have to play them again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's not up to them. You're saying forfeit with diarrhea?
Forfeit. Should Michigan State join the Pac-12?
Oh, wow. That would be, you know what? I think they'd be competitive. I don't know.
To consider?
Actually, no. Oregon State and Washington State have both been really good this year, so no, I don't think that'd be a great move either.
Hey, speaking of having it coming out both ends, can we discuss Minnesota and North Carolina?
I will have the most enthusiastic diarrhea known to mankind.
That's right. That's right.
I really just don't want to talk about the handshake where I think ESPN is just onto us now, and mm-hmm. they cut away right as Mac went in for the double clutch. So if you were at this game and saw what he did to PJ at midfield, please sound off in the comments.
I don't know what to make of North Carolina at all.
Not a clue, man.
Like,
not a damn clue.
Like, a
North Carolina can get to the playoffs. I don't know. Sure.
North Carolina is Kate, like... is capable of both looking like a top five team and a like ranked 40th team in the same game for like 5 minute stretches. Like they don't stay in that bad place forever, but they have those stretches every game. And like, maybe it won't matter. Maybe they will get through the rest of the schedule like relatively unscathed, but man, they are like, they're fascinating in a baffling way.
They went to overtime with App State last week, and now it's now they look awesome. And anyway, Pitt's up next, so that usually.
Can I just say the backyard brawl? This is to me one of the most ideal iterations of the backyard brawl because
100% agree.
I don't want the backyard brawl to ever be like, wow, what a compelling game with excellent performances by everyone competing at peak. No, I want it to be like. Wikipedia article, description of an industrial accident and casualties. That's what I want the backyard brawl to be. And oh my God, I'm sitting there watching it and nobody scored and it's 3-0 Pitt. and West Virginia isn't doing dick, and all of a sudden,
hey,
all of a sudden, Pitt decides to throw their second pass of the night, and it goes for one of the most horrendous interceptions I will ever see.
Right after a West Virginia turnover, right?
Right after, like West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia was doing shit.
West Virginia is, yeah, they were moving and doing stuff. Was it good? Never mind.
It was stuff.
I need all of you to go back and find a clip of this interception to watch, because like try and watch it and try and see it any other way as it's being done on purpose for instructional videos. Mm-hmm. I've never quite seen. This is one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. I'm not just saying this because it's the brawl. I agree that the brawl. I think that this is probably. If I can just go to therapy for a second. This is probably having a lot to do with the way the original series ended. But I agree that the brawl should always be a mess.
Yes.
And yes. Always like, in the same way that the Florida-Tennessee series ending stupidly frustrates me, the Pitt-West Virginia series ending stupidly gives me life.
That should happen, and there should be a moment like when I'm reading it, it should be like, at 8:56, Phil Jerkovic opened the safety valve without alerting anyone downstream. Because that's exactly what it felt like. You go.
The warning indicator on Pitt's offense failed to illuminate.
Exactly. All 11 participants were vaporized instantly.
So we need to reconstruct every Pitt West Virginia game via forensics.
Exactly.
Like it's a National Transportation Safety Board.
Yeah, exactly. The NTSB should show up and be like, "Oh god,
oh, smells fucking terrible in here."
Yeah, god,
Pitt offense, eh?
Go get a colander. This shit's all over the place.
Every Pitt West Virginia game is told via emergent in-game storytelling. Your character's rooting around graveyards for newspaper scraps.
I found an audio file.
This is a toenail.
The skeleton had the YouTube highlights in its pelvis for some reason.
You found an artifact. Put it in your satchel and listen to it to enrich the game-playing experience.
Oh, listen to that. You gained XP for listening to that shit.
I like that we're basically describing Fallout, the college football game.
Yeah.
There's already Fallout West Virginia. They knew what they were doing.
Right, Fallout 76 already exists.
That's right.
This shit was Fallout 726.
That's right. There it is.
I got it out first.
You win. Looking slower than Pitt's offense out here. Fuck.
Yeah. There were several games tonight where it was basically
yes,
like...
as Grumpy Snowman points out, Pitt is also Fallout canon. Sorry, go ahead.
It's true. It's true.
Less put Pitt in and more put in Pitt.
At 8:36 p.m., Pitt Stuck was in put Pitt. In. The radiation burns were significant.
Oh, they keep cutting the Colorado student section, just kind of wiggling their fingers. They should have brought in some coaches or some, you know, they should have. Can we get some famous people in the student section to hype things up? They just look kind of empty.
I would like to pause briefly to also shout out everybody who's commenting on this on LinkedIn using your government names and a picture of your real face. You are the bravest people in the world, and I hope you never get fired.
Pictures of yourselves in pantsuits and so forth.
If anybody listening to this right now and commenting with their real name needs a reference for anything, all four of us will be references for you.
That's right.
I think you'd be perfect for the position.
Yeah, I recommend all of you for leadership.
Yep. And for bravery.
That's probably a thing, right? Yeah bravery.
For IT skills.
And because you were listening to us discuss the backyard brawl, safety, industrial
and
safety.
Networking. Yeah. Networking.
Mm-hmm. Can I refer you for a VC job? Yes. If you need me to refer you for a VC job, I can do that.
Oh my God. How do we forget? Happy Scott Frost Day, Matt Rule.
Oh, it's Matt Rulemus. Don't forget.
I'm sorry. Happy Matt Rulemus. And all they needed was a quarterback named Heinrich Harburg to do it.
Heinrich, how did he not start? Unclear. That's Harburg with two A's, by the way, at the start.
He was he ran for 98 yards on 21 carries and threw for another 158.
They'll take it. Hell yes. So Northern Illinois, though, you didn't lose because you got 11. Any team that gets 11, it's not really a full loss, is it?
No, it is. That's how it works.
I wanted to note one thing, by the way. Everyone's going to be like, hey, man. Mississippi State doing big things, playing defense, like getting back to brass tacks and everything. Nope, Jaden Daniels had 88.4% completion percentage today. He didn't sweat. Jaden Daniels was throwing on air, brother, all day long against Mississippi State, who changed their offense to the one that confuses Will Rogers most. Don't even know what they're doing. That's how confusing what Will Rogers does. LSU didn't even break a goddamn sweat against Mississippi State. Cruised.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
I'd like to point out it's also Spencer Hall Day, North Texas, with the first dub of the year.
Woohoo!
You know, we were doing okay, but I really thought the switch to a 7-9 time signature and Mixolydian mode really made our free jazz offense click. And sometimes you gotta, we swing in that, right? And that's what we want our team to do, is just swing their way to victory.
Rutgers, you're 3-0. Wake Forest, you're 3-0 somehow. Old Dominion led that game like 24-7 in the middle of the third quarter, and somehow Wake Forest came back to win. Maryland, you're 3-0. Georgia State, 3-0. UCF's 3-0 and like has not seemed particularly stressed about it. Auburn's 3-0, so this game's not fun anymore. I'm sorry.
Oh, you wanted to make it even less fun.
Yeah.
Especially given this week. Ole Miss is 3-0.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, that one's okay.
I mean, we can go maximum not fun. Liberty's 3-0.
Here's what's going to happen. Not to get too far ahead, just briefly. Either Ole Miss is going to be Mizzou is 3-0. Hutavius Mingo pointed out as well. Either Ole Miss is going to beat Alabama, finally do the thing that like they think Lane Kiffin will let them do, or they will lose to this garbage Alabama team. You can pick whichever one. Like, there is misery in either corner. You just pick which version of it you want.
Anyone who doesn't beat Bama this year is very much, they missed their window. Sorry, go
yes.
ahead.
Yes, yeah.
I was going to say, while you're thinking about that, ugliest shit I saw all day. Like, absolute clanker. There were a couple of games that people, like coaches, needed to win today, or it would have gotten super bad, super fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's in danger or anything, but like in terms of indicators, the worst thing I saw today in terms of how I feel about my life and my choices as a fan, Ohio 10, Iowa State 7.
That was rough. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's because it's Iowa State or if because like Matt Campbell is a like likable dude that most people seem to be like, yeah, Matt Campbell's fine. But like, Iowa State has multiple players, multiple starters who are missing the whole season and maybe out of college football for good because of a gambling scandal.
Yeah.
And, like, it's very hard to think of another Power 5 school. It's not that hard, but most Power 5 schools, if this happened, like, it would be a huge story that it was all we talked about. And, like, we've just sort of floated past it and just been like, yeah, this is just Iowa State regressing to what they should be or what they have been.
It's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
Because, like, I don't know. It feels like that program hit a ceiling, and Matt Campbell stayed.
Yes.
And it was sort of like, okay, well, the ceiling is the new normal. And that's been in doubt.
Yeah.
And then this scandal happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sucks because he did the thing you're supposed to do. Right? I'll stay. I'll build the program. We'll establish something here. Right? And guess what happens when you do that at a place like Iowa State? Sometimes you get your foot caught in the bear trap.
You know who else has stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed?
I hope you're going to where I think you're going.
Mike Gundy has stayed.
Hell yes.
It's time.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Gundy lived long enough.
Let's talk about what supposedly happened tonight.
Liberal media, ESPN.com, reports that South Alabama beat Oklahoma State 33-7. And yet, when I look on this box score for any mention of Hunter Biden, I see nothing. Explain yourself, ESPN.
Can I read aloud a text message I got from an actual college football coach who I will not identify further by team? It's four lines, and the first line says Oklahoma State. Second line says ain't. Third line says nothing special. Fourth line says nope. Thank you, Coach, for your contribution to the canon of literature.
We were Jason and I were talking about this before we started the show. I'm making sure this is right. 2021 Oklahoma State finished 12-2, and but for like 5 inches at the goal line in the Big 12 championship game against Baylor, probably was going to go to the playoff. Like at least had a very interesting case for it, and. The wheels are just like last year, 7-6, not just 7-6, but lost 6 of their last 8 games. So that's what it looked like when they started well, when they started 5-0. This year, we're losing to South Alabama, 33-7. Like, didn't play great against Arizona State, didn't play great against Central Arkansas. Guess what? Guess who they've got next week? Iowa State. All will soon be right in the world. Ooh. For one of these teams. Ooh. Yeah.
The vibes.
Yeah, the vibes are Trey Stinky.
To me, Oklahoma State is sort of a lesser Clemson right now. Like, ooh, yes. Those are the two teams that sort of are refusing to acknowledge the era is the era.
Yeah.
And just like, yeah, who cares if we're shitting talent into the transfer portal? We do what we do, blah, blah, blah.
Get out of here. We don't want you anyway.
Yeah. We don't like having players.
You're fucking Steve Martin and the jerk. I don't need anyone. Just this lamp. I'm going to start this lamp at left guard.
We were looking on the wrong end of the country. Is Oklahoma State secular Clemson?
Barely secular, yeah. Well, the difference is Clemson recruits like Clemson. So, like, basically Oklahoma State is Clemson without the recruiting.
Yeah.
That sucks, dude.
It's not ideal. It's very not ideal.
Wait, what did Clemson do today? I want to feel alive.
Clemson was fine today.
Yeah, they were fine.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I have a weird.
They played
feeling
Florida.
Clemson's, we're just gonna look up, and they're gonna be like, "What the fuck? They're number 9 again?"
Yeah, like Clemson played Florida Atlantic, and looked fine.
Yeah,
it didn't have an issue.
And to be fair, Kane Womack at South Alabama, good coach, good team, great job.
In Indiana, you should go get him back. When you fire Tom Allen, because you're going to fire Tom Allen.
Boy, yeah.
Even though his buyout is like something that's way too high for Tom Allen.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, Tom Allen is going to take that buyout, and he's going to do the Gus Malzahn thing where he's like, well, it's in the bank. Guess I'll mow my yard. Send out some job applications.
I love that the investment isn't even like, I'm going to start a company. It's like, nope. Just plowing it all into Wells Fargo and leaving it there.
It's. I looked it up. The number is a number that for some schools, you'd be like, fuck it, pay it. For Indiana, like, I don't know that they want to pay $20.8 million to Tom Allen to leave.
What an agent.
Yeah.
I hope. You know what, though? For a school like Indiana, too, that number, every time they hear it, the athletic director has to be like, God damn! Like, it never gets better. Like, every time he hears it, it just gets worse.
Really?
Really?
I was talking to our good friend Connor at Homefield about this very same buyout, and I think the logic when Indiana inevitably, they lost to Louisville today, by the way, when they inevitably fire Tom Allen, I think you should just convince yourself, like, oh, this nice old man won the lottery. Isn't that fun for him? What a cool thing. He's so nice, and now he has some money. And don't worry about where it came from.
Just, you know, the money you're not paying Washington to join the conference. There you go.
Yep. Louisville, you're 3-0 as well. I'm sorry that I left you out.
So is there any reason Mizzou should rank behind Alabama?
No.
No.
I don't think Alabama should rank at all, and I'm not.
I don't either. Somebody asked me where I would vote for them in the AP, and I was like, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. For what fucking reason?
I mean, they came into today.
It's September 17th. There's plenty of time to put them back in later once they've done a damn thing.
Yes. Yes. I think at this point, dropping them would be entirely reasonable. It would be responsible, weirdly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, falling 15 spots for winning by 14 sounds crazy unless you watch the games, nerd. Like, they should. There's no particular reason to rank them other than they have that logo.
Like, if you just say, okay, who do you pull from also receiving votes from last week? Ignoring that there are, you know, obviously there were other, it was at least one other loss amongst a top 25 team. Colorado still playing and still losing. But Clemson was first receiving votes. Yeah, I'd probably put Clemson back in at this point.
Sure.
Arkansas, no, not putting you in. TCU? TCU actually gave Houston
nice
that
win.
Houston is another program that, like, oh boy. Like, I don't think they scored an offensive touchdown today. I think that their only touchdown was on special teams. Kansas is tied with Nevada at the half right now. But if Kansas can win, yeah.
I think we're
well, as we've seen today, tied at halftime means you win by 30. So
that's right. Yeah. That's right. Tulane, yeah, I'd probably put Tulane in at this point. You know what? Let's wait and see who gives Ole Miss a better game, Tulane or Alabama. Tulane already had their shot. Wisconsin's here, maybe, sure. Needed a lot of turnovers today, but, like, starting to get it going. Kentucky's 3-0. Sure, fuck it.
But yeah, put them in.
Rutgers ahead of Alabama.
Yep.
Give me a reason why not.
Winning should matter. That's my bold claim.
Hey, he's not listening to this right now, but I just want to go ahead and put this out in the universe. Davis Brin's the quarterback for Georgia Southern. Yeah. Davis Brin threw one TD and five picks today. And every time he threw another pick, man, just kept right back at it. Just stepped right into the teeth of that Wisconsin defense and threw another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Threw the ball 52 times. And what looked like a promising upset and then turned into a 35
runaway train. Yeah.
Runaway train. Still, though, massive respect for Davis Brin for never giving up, never yielding.
Mm-hmm.
He also fumbled. He fumbled, too.
That happens.
Six turnovers.
Slinging it. Keep slinging.
Yeah. Still can't believe Mizzou made a fucking 61-yard field goal.
With smoke on it. With smoke. Harrison Meavis.
Man, you laugh now. Do you want a good Mizzou team when Florida and Tennessee look like this?
So, I all right.
Let that in.
Ole Miss Mizzou SEC title game. Here we go.
Just like to hear it up.
I also need ESPN's fucking website to stop being the most garbage thing in the world. Here is my example from today. Miami of Ohio beat Cincinnati 31-24 in overtime. The records for these two teams, according to ESPN's page for on the scoreboard right now, Miami is listed as 1-1-1, and Cincinnati is listed at 2-0-1. And it's you're thinking, like, they must think there's a tie in there. No, that's not what's happening here. Somehow, ESPN's college football page has decided that Miami and Cincinnati are playing hockey, and Miami won in a shootout win. That's what this is indicating right now.
Whoa. Well, that's what happened, Ryan.
God damn it. Fucking guard. Like, you have one job. Just put the numbers up right.
I think that's pretty
Bill, cool. Put the numbers up right.
I don't know. I like it. I say one game per week, it happens in a different sport. It's love or whatever. It's okay. Because, you know.
JMU's 3-0 as well.
JMU is 3-0. You know who's not 3-0? They're 1-2 right now. That would be the UAB Blazers. If you want to just go ahead, follow me, follow this journey along with me, Trent Dilfer through time and space.
Tampa's own former Buccaneer great.
Yes, the house that Dilfer built and that Brad Johnson moved into, Raymond James Stadium.
There's like several quarterbacks in between there, but it's fine.
There is. That's fine. Again, Ryan.
Doesn't matter.
You betraying your knowledge of the actual succession order of Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterbacks of the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reflects worse on you. Than
100%. I don't feel great about it.
The house that Baker Mayfield squats within.
Yeah, they're 1-2, just waiting for the Trent Dilfer explosion at one point in Birmingham. It's going to happen.
Whoa.
Yeah, speaking of squats within.
Oregon State 3-0. No surprise, of course, but
no surprise.
I mean, how many Pac-12 teams are going to be ranked coming up now?
Buddy, I'm just going to rank them.
We at 8?
Yeah, we're just ranking them.
We were at 8 last. No, we were at 8 last week, weren't we?
I think that's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Just
7,
throwing Arizona in there for five.
We were at 7, I believe.
Fuck you, buddy.
It should remain seven.
Unless somebody's, yeah. Or no, we are at 8 because USC was off this week. That's right. Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just looking at who's played today. Yeah.
Yeah. Arizona State's not going to
be. Let's unrank USC then.
Seems fair. Easy. Shouldn't have dodged week 3, USC.
I do.
But we played week 0. Yeah, well.
Shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
Shouldn't have done that either. You didn't even do it on real television.
I respect Texas, by the way, for waiting until the last second to hand in their project. This was what they were.
Yeah, the final score looks great, fellas. Looks great. Final score. Just
perfect. What'd you do? You got a big lead and then you ran out the clock, right? Yep.
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 Correct.
Yep. Sure. Yep.
Listen.
The only thing that made Texas look bad today is Bama. like all day, like for 2 or 3 hours, I was like, well, I guess Texas isn't back. Because, damn.
All right. So we have now entered that exciting part of almost every college football season. There are exceptions. 2019 is a big exception. But we have entered this stretch, which will probably be in for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, where the reaction to everything is there are no good teams. And in reality, what's happening is that college football is fucking hard, and it's good that it's hard. But we've become so accustomed to, whether it's Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State or Georgia or LSU that one year, or like the old USC teams, or even, you know, some of Oklahoma's teams, we're so accustomed to, like, there has to be one team who just always makes it look easy.
Yeah.
That when it doesn't happen, we've decided everyone sucks. And it's like, what if, actually, there are just a lot of pretty good teams?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're going to do. We're just going to say everybody.
And
we're
Washington.
Just going to say everybody stinks.
And Washington.
Yes, and Washington. And Washington.
I think, like, the you know, in college football, a beautiful thing we celebrate is a team going undefeated.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean annihilating everything on the schedule. Like,
sure.
2019 LSU didn't do that. You know, like, yeah. At this point, it does feel like there are more flawed top 10 teams than usual, but there is also this one week per year when everyone sucks. It is a standard thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but you know what? Like, Ohio State's still undefeated, and they still have Marvin Harrison Jr. And
they
so,
do. They do.
He's just fucking fast.
Yeah. This week, in Ohio State fans being incredible human beings, at one point, you know, I'm just trying to keep up scrolling through the Twitter timeline, and I see a bunch of Ohio State fans complaining about, oh man, you just can't let Western Kentucky have that. I can't believe you got that. And I was like, oh man, maybe it's like 10-10 or something. Nope. Final score in that game. For those keeping track at home, 63-10. And you go, oh, maybe those comments were made in, like, you know, the second quarter when things were still competitive. They scored 35 in the second quarter. They're like, I don't know if Kyle McCord's the guy for this job. I don't know. He's just not really showing anything. Kyle McCord was 19 for 23. 19 for 23.
Doesn't have it.
Doesn't have it.
Doesn't have it.
No.
It's fine. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State, their final scores all look awesome.
Yeah, y'all, this is
like watching the Indiana game. That was a rough watch, but at this point, it's I don't know. Yeah, sure, Ohio State's really good.
Yeah, you seem fine. Like, if somebody was like, "Do you want to put money on them to win the national title?" I would be like, happily, here, take
yeah,
it.
I, let me see the numbers, possibly.
Yeah, Jason's the gambling expert. Don't fucking cross the line. Don't wander out of your lane.
we're not just going to like write the check and let God fill in the number. We're going to take a look at the odds first.
That's not very Dion of you. Favorite moment today, by the way, was Dion trotting out God lines at Boulder to like mumbles from the crowd, right? God is good. And everyone in Boulder's like, oh, what?
Everybody's like, that's Utah. You're looking for Utah, sir. No.
Colorado Springs is several miles that way.
I mean, sure. Shouts out to your
I love Colorado always getting stuck with the Jesus coach. Yeah. Like,
so he's like, well, you know,
you're so close to towns where that would play really, really well. Yeah. We have to pretend to go along with it.
They kind of, Colorado fans, I think, in general, treat God like they would treat, like, your boy Kyle. You know, like, hey, can y'all let's shout out my boy Kyle? You know,
Dion's friend.
Yeah. We love Kyle. He's the best. Who's your guy, Jesus? Yeah, he's cool. He's cool.
Like, God's going to get a Q bump in the Boulder area for being lumped in with The Rock and Migos.
Yeah. Those are all, you know, Dion's got his whole crew, which includes
mm-hmm.
God.
Just this is a delight for me on several levels, though, because
which entourage character is God in Colorado?
Turtle.
It did allow The Rock to come on. The Rock at this point is just invited for things out of pomp and circumstance, like he's a statesman. He has no connection to this game whatsoever, and they just bring The Rock on the game day because he's The Rock.
Yeah, it's sort of, yeah.
Yeah. So the funny thing with this is because of the Hollywood strikes, The Rock kind of has nothing to do. So he showed up at wrestling last night. He showed up at SmackDown, which was in Denver. And it's like, well, while I'm here, might as well get even more attention.
Everything is wrestling.
So, like, ultimately, the Hollywood strike is why The Rock showed up today.
That's right.
Yeah, and he knows nothing about what's going on. Like, they're like, hey, The Rock.
He was dropping numbers on game day. He was dropping
he was
9 yards per carry last week.
But they asked him, like, hey, here, can you address the crowd here? Talk to the Colorado crowd. And he's like, no, let's go Buffaloes. Holds up a fist. That's it. Just, yay.
Spencer, I'm going to give you a rushing line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you it's from a Power 5 team, a Power 5 player today. And I want you to see if you can just, in one, guess who it is.
All right.
25 carries, mm-hmm. 195 yards, 4 touchdowns.
God damn. 195 carries. Four TDs?
4 TDs, 195 yards on 25 carries.
4 TDs, 25 carries, 194 yards. Nothing comes to mind. I will just throw out a blanket guess of Travis Etienne. I don't think that's right, though.
The answer is Syracuse quarterback Garrett Schrader.
Garrett Schrader!
That's right. That's right.
If you watch that Syracuse offense, it is awesome they do just kind of – they have kind of given up sometimes on, like, having super organized plays. And they're like, Garrett,
just fucking run.
You're young. You seem adventurous.
You got a lot of life ahead of you, kid.
You do have a lot of life in you. Why don't we knock a little bit of that out of you in the name of yardage? Why don't you just go out there and ramble? Just ramble, Garrett.
You don't look like you've been through a whole lot yet.
If you remember Garrett Schrader, the first game he played at Mississippi State, he took a hit so hard he helicoptered around all the way, like 8 feet in the air.
Yeah, he's 23. He played that game at Mississippi State was in 2019, and he's still just out here fucking rambling for Syracuse, and it's great.
Just roaming and a ramble.
Yep.
And does he still have the kind of scraggly beard? That only adds to it. It's kind
it's
of like
big now, I think.
It is. Okay, so yeah, so he basically looks like 1976 Bill Walton out there, just wandering around.
Yeah, that thing's like, the ground. It's like a year away from full Spencer, I think.
I think so it's calmed down. I think at Mississippi State it got quite scraggly. I think at Syracuse it's calmed. Yeah,
a 2021 image.
Yeah, at Syracuse it's become
matured.
It's become more restrained. Let's say
this man was in college so long he went Charmander to Charizard and back.
Yeah, this is his final form, and it's damn impressive. That is a dude. That is not a running back. That is like a 1980s running back.
Yes.
At quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dino's like, guys, I'll keep.
It's 58 seconds into the third quarter, and Colorado's punting. Is that weird?
Nah.
Okay.
They're just creating more doubters to fuel them. Like that's why it's the perfect no energy lost machine. Say,
I'll think next time.
That's all right.
Please buy Dion sunglasses. That's it.
I'm sure people already have for Will.
Yeah,
the crowd looks a little worried.
The crowd does look.
They're like, wait a minute! I just remembered we're Colorado football fans.
Oh no! This is why I stopped coming.
Shit.
Man, if Colorado State wins this game, TC is going to feel like absolute shit. Absolute fucking shit.
Also, do you know who won't be able to be contained by lead casing, armed guards, or a force field?
Jay Norvell.
Sunglasses are going to be so uncool.
Norvell's going to be like, I take my hat off when I talk to somebody. When I take my sunglasses off, I take my shirt. I'm nude. I'm fully nude.
Out of respect for you,
out
the
of
media.
Respect for you, like a Greek Olympian, like a gladiator in the field of play. I stand before you.
Wrestle me, Edward.
Mr. Set. Come, address me in the court of public opinion.
Master P, I hereby challenge thee.
Yeah. I know that you're a man of title. They don't just call anyone Master.
Aristotle, your lessons are being upheld at Colorado State.
J. Norvell is just going to be like, I will take anything you give me right now and not die. Your poisons, I drink them. Your drugs, I tolerate them. Small arms, fire, and knives, I'm immune. Power of flame cannot harm me.
Why did you make him Russian instead of Greek now?
I am all men.
He is all men, if they win.
Colorado State's going to have, like, no limits C squad on the sideline.
Drake's going to show up to Colorado State. Drake's going to be like, I was thinking.
Yeah, Drake, just in time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Silk the Shocker. What?
How'd C-Murder get out of jail?
Man. It's the St. Lunatics. Not Nelly, just the St. Lunatics.
Deeply underrated.
It's the two women who got kicked out of the original Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
They're here.
The three weird guys who were.
You got.
This is absolutely amazing. Currently, yes, 21-14 Colorado State with 11:31 to go in the third.
So much time, and we dare not doubt Colorado, because if we do,
never ever, please don't accuse us of
boy,
that.
That makes no, it personal. Hey, because no. You know what that would make it personal.
Personal. I mean, actually, if we do, we'll get a lot of attention. So, like, you know what I mean? To be really
it
good
must,
for the ring.
It must be very tiring to be Deion Sanders, because you can make something personal so easy. If you like, if Deion goes to a restaurant and they're like, "Ooh, actually, eggplant parmesan is not on the menu today," he like, this shit is personal now. Buca di Beppo, we are
this,
at war.
This junk is personal.
We will absolutely like. Oh boy, but yeah, you're right. We should probably start calling out Deion just to get numbers up.
Yeah, I think they're gonna go 2-10.
I think they're gonna go 1-11. I think the Nebraska win's gonna be overturned. Yeah.
I think we all jumped to conclusions there. Let the story play out.
Damn. Ryan's several levels ahead. That's why I don't have the master. This is why Ryan is the better wrestling promoter. He has the legal skills combined with the natural cunning
of Tampa.
Ryan's Tampa. Our Paul Heyman.
Yeah, he is. Address me as tribal chief. Right in the back of my shots and glower menacingly while holding my belt.
I would like to, I do want to acknowledge that Iowa scored 41 points completely unnecessarily. Like, I finally believe that Kirk Ferentz cares
Iowa
about his son.
Ran up the score.
Yeah. Yeah, like this game, when this game was 31-10, it was near the end of the third quarter. And then there was some punting. But, like, Iowa got the ball on the Western Michigan 33 with 3 minutes left, and they scored a touchdown on that drive. And it's like, you guys didn't have to do that shit. You just love your son, Kirk.
You don't even like doing that shit.
You can say you love your son. I bet he can't say it. I bet this is the only way he can express that emotion. My love language is meaningless touchdowns.
Meaningless touchdowns. And occasionally he'll watch, like, Saving Private Ryan.
Sure, him. Sure.
You know, be like, great film. And when he says great film, it's the most emotion he's expressed to his son, right? Tell me I'm a good man, Brian. That's what should have happened in Saving Private Ryan. Tell me I'm a good man.
Meanwhile, Brian's just like, that's a fucking Vin Diesel. Hell yeah.
Everyone's in this fucking movie, fuck, man.
Fuck. I think this is a Fast and Furious movie.
Did we miss, before we sign off on this extremely entertaining, I loved this week, by the way.
I think this was a good, like, what is great about college football week. It didn't mean a lot for, like, who will make the playoff and who won't. And it wasn't like, look, almost all the ranked teams won and none of them were playing each other, but, like, there was a lot here that was just like, oh yeah. And truly, West Virginia Pitt was just like a perfect backyard brawl. Absolutely perfect backyard brawl.
Everything you could want in that edition of that particular silo of content.
Yes. Like, the only, if I could have made one edit to really be like the platonic ideal, Pitt should have been ranked 23rd coming into this game, and the game should have gone exactly how it went. Like, that's the good shit, when it's like, here comes one ranked team. Oh no, they pooped everywhere. It's the diarrhea plane, but football.
My edit would be confirming USF won that game, but yeah, sure. Otherwise, yeah, that, you know, if you come into this week and you're like, ooh, lots of enormous point spreads, but based on that, there was so much more drama than there quote should have been.
Yeah.
So, a quick shout out to a couple of people who have stuck through the entire show. Caboose MG, King of Me, WSEC. How do you? WC4?
Are you having a stroke?
I am. I'm trying to read Twitch names out loud, which sounds like I'm having a stroke.
My favorite part about this is we have very, very easy to read LinkedIn names in the chat.
Yep. Skipping right past them. But those are real names. They might not want to be associated with.
I like it aesthetically because it's so
Carrie? I said that one right.
You like it aesthetically because what?
Never mind.
Because it's like just moms and dads popping in between gamers.
I was gonna say I like the mess of having them read Twitch names because it's like it feels aesthetically like a return to the old EDSBS live days.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Spencer.
Shout out to you, wherever you are.
James Curl. There we go. There's a LinkedIn name.
Spencer, you sound like a teacher trying to explain like modern drug references.
they call it China White.
He's on that shoot monster.
Yeah.
Is your child Nick Pickard?
I'm smoking that Hypel pack.
Got that Kizak. MW gotta fly.
Oh, can anyone else confirm Billy Napier and John C. Reilly are the same person?
Yeah, he's putting a weight entirely in his forehead.
It's not just the look, it's not just the voice, it's the facial expressions. When he talks, the crooked mouth.
Mm-hmm. And the way he's got like hot dog rolls on his forehead.
And the thick stout body.
Mm-hmm. I think the main way in which I see this overlapping is they both look like a clown who's removed his makeup.
Uh-huh.
You know? Like, that's the vibe they both have, aesthetically. Sad clown who's disrobed for the night.
Clown who's going legit.
Well, speaking of clowns disrobing for the night.
Spencer, what is the meanest thing you said about Billy Napier during the Florida Tennessee
game? I threatened to kill him in several different ways in the first quarter.
Cool.
I did.
Cool.
Yeah. Multiple different variations of death. And then the second quarter, I was like, lifetime extension. And then the second half was sort of vacillating between those, you know. But I'm very happy. I want everyone to know I'm happy and grateful there. It's good. Aww, I enjoyed
great.
The game.
It's really great. It's so
very fun.
You deserve it after all you've been through.
Just grateful. All right, y'all.
Good night.
Thank you for joining another perfect full cast After Dark. We will do this again next Saturday.
That's a threat.